Scripture reading today is from Luke 22, and it has to do with the Passover feast and the Last Supper. And let's share. Luke 22, verse 14 through 20, and I love the way Luke says things. He says, "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this, divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you.'" Lord, we thank you for those words, and we thank you for the death of your Son, and we thank you for his resurrection. We are glad that we can share that life that he has so graciously given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our lives are made up of choices on a daily basis. I thought today of that when I pulled in the parking lot out here, and Phil mentioned what a beautiful day it was, and I saw the dew glistening on the grass, and the sun shining, and saw the bell out there, and I thought, what an awesome place to be today. And people are celebrating that around the world. They're celebrating their Sabbath and their worship around the world. And I'm thankful that people have the privilege to worship and the privilege to go and share their faith with other people. But life is choices. Hopefully, most of them are good. Hopefully, most of them are moral. Hopefully, most of them are safe. And hopefully, most of them are getting us on the right path. We were talking in Sunday school today, and I don't see Sally, so I can talk about it. Sally said something to the effect, and she said, "I don't necessarily feel equipped or something like that to do this." And you know, and the thing about us is we're all on a path. None of us have arrived. And when we think we've arrived, that's when we found out we really haven't. So, you know, that's what life is all about. It's about choices. We can set priorities. We make choices in our lives on, you know, on what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, where we live, what our careers are, whether we're going to accept Jesus Christ or not. That's a choice. And it's a choice that we can make. You have some notes in your bulletin. I'd encourage you to, you know, to take those out and follow, if you would. The writer of Deuteronomy said in Deuteronomy 30:19, he said, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life." So he's pretty well laid it out for us when you look at that. And, you know, we don't talk a lot about the Old Testament, but I think the question that we really ask ourselves is, and it doesn't make any difference whether we are 16 or 46 or 66 or older than that. We make choices. And we can make choices today that will change the rest of our lives. And sometimes we don't think about that, but those changes can alter our life forever. Things that we do, decisions that we make. You mentioned that your nephew was killed in a car wreck. And, you know, people will sit and say, "Well, if I wouldn't have done this, or if I would have made this choice or made this decision, things might have been different." I'm not really sure I agree with that, simply because our lives are ordered by God. And as many times as I've looked back and thought about my 19-year-old son, it's like, what could have been done any different? And what choices could I have made different that would have changed his life? I'm thankful he's a Christian. I have that to rejoice in. So, you know, that's the good thing. So everything that we do, everything that blesses our lives, everything that burdens our lives is a result of a choice. So we're going to take a look at some things today. There we go. I have people load stuff in, you know, for me, because it was like, you know, I did a couple grief share classes and I couldn't get the VCR to work or the DVD to work, and, you know, and like somebody would say, you're not technologically sound. Okay, I'll buy that. Choices that we make require action. We have to acknowledge the choice. Now, what that simply means is there is a choice there we have to make. We have to understand that it's there and we have to do it. We got to consider the choices. Sally said today in Sunday school class, in the lesson I thought was really good, is when you first meet people, do you trust them or you distrust them? That's the choice we have to consider. And unfortunately, someone said, well, we just met you. So, you know, it's like, you know, there you go. But we have to, you know, we have to consider that choice. I have never robbed a bank. So, you know, we have to make the choice. Are we going to trust someone, or are we going to distrust them? That's a choice that we have to make. And it's something we ever think about. Ever wonder why we're here? Ever wonder why we've been put on the face of this earth? I remember thinking as a teenager, what am I here for? I mean, everybody, don't raise your hand. I don't want to be the only one. But ever thought about that? Why am I here? What's my purpose? What's my point in life? Is there a God that really created us? Who is this guy that we can't see? Who is this person? I refer to him as a guy. I think he's a man, but I don't know. You know, I think Jesus was a man, and that was in God's image. So, you know, I'll buy that. But when we think about that, what's our point? So I think that once we really realize who we are and God is the focal point of our lives, then we understand why we're here and we realize that He really loves us and He has a point of purpose in our lives. So the first thing we need to do is we need to choose God's love. And we need to make that decision. I choose God's love. Now, I know we've talked about God's love before, but when we take a look at choices, it becomes completely different. To choose God is one of the most important choices a person can ever make in their lives. Now, we talk about, you know, making choices of a spouse. That's important. You don't want to make a mistake. We talk about careers. You don't want to pick the wrong one, because you don't want to do something you get up every morning and just hate. You don't want to do that. That's an easier thing to change than a spouse. And a better thing to change than a spouse. But those are choices that we make. And so, you know, when we look at that, you know, we need to make that choice of accepting God. We can choose to either believe Him, or we can choose to either reject Him. It says in Jeremiah 29:13, He said, "You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord." So that's seeking God's love. Ever think God advertises? I think He does. If you read Psalms 19:1-4, it said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are the words whose voice is not heard. The voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun." You know, you might look at that and say, well, maybe God does, you know, maybe God does advertise. I kind of think he does. I think there's a lot of things. When I pulled in, like I said this morning, I saw the dew glistening off that grass. I thought, man, that is so beautiful. And when I walked out this morning, I'm thinking the humidity is not 95%. And I got this shirt on with a tie on. Observe, folks. Anyway, I am thankful for this day. And I am thankful for, you know, for the choice I made to get up and come. We're all around the world. People talk about, you know, Christianity. And I've referred last week, I think, to ISIS in the Mideast. And now I see this week that they have kidnapped 1,400 girls and raped them and put them into prostitution. And I'm thinking, my goodness, when are we going to do something about this? You know, and that's not a political statement by any means, but when are people going to rise up and say, I've had enough? When I'm going to choose love? I don't hear anywhere in the world that Christianity is putting anyone to death for not accepting Christianity. It tells me we're on the right path, and we've made that choice, and that's part of the love. Someone once said, God's love is perfecting love. Said earlier, we're under construction, and we talked about that in Sunday school class. He's working on us every day. He's helping us learn to love more. He's helping us to learn to be a better servant, to be a better carer, to be a better caregiver, to be a better person. There is a problem, though, if you don't encompass this the whole idea of Christianity 100%. There was a guy by the name of Roland Stewart. Anybody know Roland Stewart? He was the guy that, and I believe it was probably the Steelers games. I'm not a Steelers fan. But he was at the Steelers games, and he would have the guy that had the colored hair running around holding up the John 3:16 sign, darting in and out during field goals and everything in the late 80s and early 90s. Remember that guy? He embraced part of the gospel, John 3:16. But he didn't embrace the other part of it. He is now in prison for 3 life sentences. Held a woman hostage. Tried to blow up churches. And was firing at airplanes. And that's what happens when you only embrace part of the gospel. Or you only embrace part of God's love. That you miss the real fun part of it, the real joy of it. So what the thing that we do is we have to choose his love. We have to believe his love. Let's go back and acknowledge it. We've got to consider it. And we've got to make the decision. Choose to believe that God's love, that God loves you. That choice will change your life. And it will. It'll change it radically. The second thing is choose God's forgiveness. You may want to choose God's love, but you can't quite get there. And you quite can't comprehend this idea of forgiveness. And there's something that is hindering us. And we've got, you know, there's people that think, well, I've done all this stuff wrong. I'm just not fit. And there might be someone sitting in here today that there is something that you feel like is blocking that real close relationship with God. I'm not saying you're not forgiven, but I'm saying you're not having the joy that you can have, and there's what could be one little thing. I can't name anything, but there's something that's not given us complete peace. Something that's not given us complete joy. There's a blockage there. And he doesn't want to simply cover it up. He wants to remove it, and he wants to hide it. There's people that have went to church for years and have practiced Christianity that haven't chose God's forgiveness. And so anyway, when that happens, what we do is we live in just a kind of a fake world. If you look at Matthew 9:1-2, it's the 2 verses says, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over and came onto his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven. Now, I can see his buddies carrying him in, laying that bat down, and Jesus looking at him and saying, Earl, your sins are forgiven. But I'm laying on a mat. And these guys have got to be standing around there looking, thinking, what in the world is wrong with this man? He's paralyzed, and you're talking about his sin. But Jesus' whole message was, it's better to go to heaven paralyzed as a forgiven sinner than it is to go to hell healed. And I never looked at that way until I looked at it, you know, this week and thought, wow, you know, I see what he's saying here. The Bible says a lot about sin. It says, you know, it's one thing, it says, we're determined to sin. Now, I saw that, you know, I like high school football, but I did see that Ross got beat last Friday night, which is not my point. My point is, we don't need a pep rally to sin, like they have a pep rally probably before the football game, to win. But what we do need is that constant, everyday reminder that I need to be walking with God. Another thing, I like that class this morning, Sally, I got to tell you. One of the things we kind of talked about in there was renewing your mind. It says in Romans, renew your mind daily. And we'll kind of, you know, and I noticed our daily bread's out here. Dell's been looking for our daily bread for a while. And so it's back. And so, but what that is, I mean, it's a concise way of renewing your mind on a daily basis. And that's important. Because God's not finished with us yet. We are a project. Sin's a disease. It's a spiritual disease. Now, some people have said that sin leads to physical disease, and I think that's probably, you know, in some cases may well be true. When you look at it, someone once said that they thought a lot of cancer was caused by stress. Because they can't pinpoint it. You can't pinpoint stress a whole lot. Now, I don't know. I don't know whether it does or not. But you know, you look at that, and you think about those things, and it's certainly possible. Sin can deceive us. A lot of people, and I said earlier, have attended church forever, walked in, sat down, read their Bible, and never really made that commitment, you know, to find God. And so, what we end up with is that deceit that we feel like it's okay. Probably the most popular verse in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That shall not perish. Yeah, and that part hinges on the first part. God gave his son. Why? So we wouldn't perish. That's how much God loves us, and that's how much God wants us to love him, to love each other, to seek his forgiveness, and to follow him. But that's not the end. If that was the end, and there wasn't anything else, it would be pretty disappointing. But there is something else, and there is that forgiveness. There is hope. There is good news. But you can't appreciate the good news until you see the bad news. You know, we take, you know, a lot of the good news for granted. But then when there's some bad news comes along and we want to look at the other side and see, well, what if? And so a lot of times we don't understand really what's that good news. The good news is God's forgiveness. And the good news is his forgiveness. Now, what I hope we're doing over these first few, weeks of talking is talking about how we share our faith. And what we do with it. That it's not just about me. It's not just about, Karen or, anybody. It's what do we do to go out and share that faith? And these are just some simple things that we talked about. It. God has his prescription for sin. We can be forgiven and live in eternity with him. So what's God say about forgiveness? In Exodus 34, 6 through 7, he says, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. You know, we like God's grace. We like God's mercy. We don't want God's justice. At least I don't. Because justice says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want the other part of that. Psalms 86:5 says, you are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding love to all who care. So we have to make that choice. Micah says, Micah 7:18, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his possession? So he says he's going to forgive. So what's the extent of it? The extent of it, as far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove our transgression from sin. Psalms 13:12. We're talking again today in class. I'm going to refer to that again. You probably think if you didn't go to Sunday school class, you wouldn't have anything to say. But that's really not true. But, you know, when we're talking about, you know, renewing our mind and thinking about, you know, those things, we have to stop and, you know, and look at how important it is that, you know, once we seek that forgiveness and once God has forgiveness given us, that we grow in our faith. And that we move forward, not for us, but we move forward for Him. God's not going to take a sin away from us and just hide it. He's going to cast it into the sea. That's what the Bible says. Never again to be remembered. He offers us grace. Grace is when we don't deserve it. But He offers that to us for what He's done to it. God placed the sum of mankind's sin squarely on Jesus' shoulders. And we're going to celebrate that resurrection, in essence, when, you know, and death and resurrection today in communion. As we, you know, as we look at, you know, what He, you know, what He told us to do. But I think it's interesting that, you know, in that whole forgiveness, is that so many people, so in that choice of forgiveness, is so many people don't make that choice. And I don't understand it. If I have two choices, heaven or hell, I think I'm going to take heaven. That's God's love for us. If we take a look at Lydia in Acts 16:11 through 15, this is what I'm saying. It says, from Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And on the next day we went to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city in that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to a woman who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. So we, you know, they're sitting there and they're talking to this businesswoman. She's a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. Get the next phrase. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us into her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So Lydia had been a worshiper of God. That hit me between the eyes this week. But she had never become a Christian. And it said, when we opened the Scripture, she believed. I just, you know, to me, it's, that's, you know, that's some it's kind of incredible to me. But as we enter into communion, I want us to stop and think about, a few things. And that's being, you know, where we are and where we are in our lives. Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 19, and I referred to verse 15 earlier. It says, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and if you're drawn away and bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land if you are crossing to Jordan to enter and possess. It says in verse 19, this day I call the heavens and earth as a witness against you, and that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children will prosper. Not just you, but your children. Choices we make from this day forward can and will affect people we're around. So I'm going to ask you that if there's anyone here, let's just bow our heads. And if there's anyone here that is not certain, you've got that question. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ask you to do one thing. I'm going to ask you to settle it. And so I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to pray it. Now, if there's something in your life that you're not comfortable with, ask God to remove it. Then do me a favor. Call me this week and tell me. Let me know what God's doing in your life. Because that's the exciting part of being, in the body of Christ. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you and we search our own hearts. And Lord, as we prepare to come to the table today, we ask that you examine our hearts and examine our lives. And Lord, if there be anything in that life, if there be anything in my heart that is separating me, no matter what it is, no matter how big it is, no matter how small it is, I ask you, in the name of Jesus, to take it. And Lord, I choose this day to release it and give it to you. Let you cast it in the sea, and I'll never be reminded of it again. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you had something there and it's gone, rejoice. Because God has really done more in your life than you might have imagined.